Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, April 25th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the internet at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great advantage for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process and or given powerful testimonials about how the use of these tools has improved their life and relationships. You've also got the option to go to the App Store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, you'll be given access to a completely free and private app by clicking on the glowing heart icon. And that app contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We are hopeful that people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments, questions, testimonials, answers. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. When you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. I'd like to take a little extra time asking for comments and questions or answers or suggestions or testimonials on Monday morning. We're in the middle of working through the Way of Mastery. The first book of the Way of Mastery is 12 lessons, and we're partway through lesson 9. And the lesson 9 focus, the topic is the title is that all events are neutral. And the essence of the teaching in this lesson is that each and every one of us has the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each new given moment. And it is the focus of our awareness in each moment which creates our experience of life. And so every event has only the meaning for us that we give to it. It has only the impact on us that we create by our choice of how to interpret and respond to those events, each and every event. And that's the way in which this lesson can be on target when it says all events are neutral. And yet, there are a lot of things that occur in our lives and in the world around us that require response. They require adaptation. They are stressors because they require adaptation. That's one of the definitions for stress, is that anything that requires us to use energy to adjust or adapt or accommodate to that event can be said to be something that creates a stress for us. So yes, there are events that happen that are stress producers. They require us to make adjustments, to accommodate, to survive, to be comfortable, to reach an optimal outcome. And yet, this lesson wants us to understand that the event itself is just part of the flow of life. And it only holds the meaning for us that we give it. Like the three umpires, you know, sitting in the bar having some drinks at the end of a long day of doing their respective jobs. And the first one says, well, you know what? There's balls and strikes, and I call them as they are. And the second one says, well, you know what? There's balls and strikes, and I call them as I see them. And the third umpire says, well, the way I view it, there's only pitches until I call them, either a ball or a strike. And that's the message of Lesson 9. At deeper and deeper levels, the deep truth in that story of the three umpires is available for us to observe in our lives. That, you know, what one person looks at and says this is garbage is another person's treasure. What one person looks at and says is a catastrophe is another one's cause for celebration. And at deeper and deeper levels, we are being called in these deeper spiritual teachings to actively observe in our lives what is the role of any of these energies that we have control over. What is our contribution to the experience of life moment to moment? And a lesson like, or, you know, a study like Lesson 9 in the Way of Mastery is calling us to understand our choice of how to interpret and then respond to life events is everything in terms of our experience of life. And at the same time, this lesson is trying to wake us up to the fact that there is so much going on in the world, in our lives, in our universe, in our experience, that our conscious logical minds cannot even begin to comprehend. That's why it says right on page 5 of the first lesson, the way of the heart, this pathway that we're being introduced to, that we're being invited to study, to practice, to wake up to, this pathway is not the way of the intellect. The reason for that is because the intellect is so limited. It is so myopic. It says at a later point in one of the lessons that the intellect is just that part of our mind that has been shoved full of trivialities. And once it's been shoved full of trivialities, all it can do is spit those back out for us. Dr. Michael Rice, in his work, talks about the Harvard study where they identify that in the period of time where 10,000 units of electrical activity can be mapped out in the brain, the conscious part of your mind can only register about 9 bits, 7 plus or minus 2. So as many as 9, as few as 5. And in that same period of time, with, you know, various estimates are getting even more out of proportion than this. But, you know, one of the estimates that I read said that probably 20 trillion bits of data are hitting our senses during the period of time that we're able to be aware of 9 bits of data. And our brain, that little carbon-based memory that, like, similar to a computer hard drive in our mind, can only record and then play back what's been programmed into it, it is registering 9 bits, or the conscious mind's registering 9 bits, the hard drive in the brain's processing 10,000, and the senses are being bombarded with about 20 trillion bits of data, and the senses are not able to register the vast majority of things that are happening. There are vibrations that if we could hear them, we would call them sounds that our ears do not register. There are energy waves that if we could see them with our eyes, we would call them light, but our eyes do not register them. There are X-rays and radio waves and, for many of us, the chi life energy force and the chakra energies. And these are all around us all the time, and our senses don't even measure them, can't even perceive them. They don't even register on our senses. So the intellect cannot be our guide for the deeper issues in life because it has no clue. It was intended to be a very simple tool, a very simple servant to a higher level of awareness, to a wide open questioning, to the invitation to learn constantly and grow constantly. And as Einstein said in one of his quotes, the problem is we're living in a culture that's forgotten all about that intuitive mind and about constantly questioning. And worse than that, we live in a culture that has mistakenly come to believe that the intellect is supposed to be the master. So we have forgotten the precious gift, and we've elevated what was supposed to be just a faithful servant or a simple tool to the level of deity or master. And David Bohm found out about this and studied it in great detail, and Krishnamurti studied it in great detail, and now here it is again in Way of Mastery saying, the vast majority of your mental and emotional problems are the result of a misapplication of your intellectual energy, and you're living in a culture that teaches you just pour more intellectual energy into it whenever you're having a mental or emotional discomfort. You know, that's like saying you want to get out of the hole you're in, and so you just keep digging. It doesn't make any sense. So we are experiencing the effects of what we have chosen to experience. lesson 8 in the Way of Mastery, it was saying, look, every thought you pour value into is an energy choice, which creates your experience in this moment and then sends out an energy ripple, which is going to return to you. And so in that process, what you choose to value today is going to create the energy that comes back and becomes the energy that you experience tomorrow. So choose carefully is the message. Get very, very conscious of the thought energies that you choose to engage in, and particularly those that you choose to value highly. And by, you know, how can you tell if you value something highly? When you keep repeating it, that's an indication of you're giving it value. So this work is calling us to be vigilant with the thoughts that we choose, and especially vigilant with the thoughts that we repeat and give high value to. Because in that process, we're setting up this energetic wave, a creative force, which extends out from us and is going to return to us, and we will get to choose once again as it returns to us how we are going to experience that energy. And Lesson 9 really wants to clarify what was brought up in Lesson 8 and say, by the way, this concept of karma that many people put out in your world is not actually the way it works, because that would make you a victim. That if you spent 5 or 10 years or 40 or 50 years trained in negative thoughts and bitterness and hurt, vengeance, and karma would say, you know, you've put all that stuff out there. Now you just got to sit back and ride the wave as it comes back and tortures you and beats you up and punishes you for all of those times that you chose negative energy. And this lesson says, that's not the way this works. In every moment, you are as free as you were in the moment where you chose a negative thought and valued it or poured energy into it. You're as free as you ever were to choose how you will interpret and respond and experience the energies coming to you in the next moment. And so we were at the part in Lesson 9 where it says, why not develop a practice where you get a first-hand experience of what it's like to use this creative energy that you have, this focus of your mind energy, this focus of your thoughts, to create an experience like the experience of being alone with yourself, to get deeper in touch with your true nature, not being alone with your image of a saint or a god or a guru, but alone with yourself. And it's suggesting a practice of 5 minutes of practice, sitting in a chair and imagining the truth, imagining that you can tune into the fact that you're an infinite creator of exactly what you're experiencing in your emotional field. You're doing that by how you're choosing to focus your mind energy in each new present moment. So by halfway down page 114, it says, you know, give yourself 5 minutes to practice choosing how you will experience sitting in a chair. Will you do so with a mind full of worry or a mind full of peace? Will you do that with a mind thinking of all the things you could be doing instead of just sitting there? or a mind that's marveling at the experience of feeling the weight of the body as it presses against the seat of a chair, a mind that creates tension in the way that the breath is flowing, or a mind that creates ease and comfort. 5 minutes of practice sitting in a chair as an infinite creator of exactly what you are experiencing in your emotional field. Just that and nothing more. You might even want to play with what it would feel like to sit in a chair as a Christ. What would that feel like? The text says, I will let you choose whether or not you would like to experience it. Because you can. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness, and that will create your experience of life. So if you choose to focus your conscious awareness on what it would be like to be an infinite creator of exactly what you're experiencing in your emotional field, if you would like to extend that to experience what it would feel like to be a Christ, you can experience it. 5 minutes each day. If you choose to do it, try doing it without fail. Be with yourself and decide how you will experience yourself now. For you see, the text says, for you see, the you that sits in the chair with whatever is going on in your consciousness, whatever feelings you're having throughout the body, whatever is going on in your primary relationships, how the food is digested in the body, all of it, the whole of your experience is the effect of how you have been a million times when you have sat down to be with yourself in 1,000 different chairs. Utilize the very process of sitting down in a chair as a symbol of preparing the mind for the dropping of the thought of the pebble into it, out of which will reverberate the vibrations or the ripples that will come back to you. It is much easier to send out ripples and experience them when they come back in a blissful way, in a way that brings you peace, joy, fun, laughter, play, and unlimitedness, instead of having to constantly butt your head against something that you would rather transmute or run away from. And it begins with 5 minutes. 5 minutes in which you acknowledge that you can create whatever experience you want. As a feeling that floods through your awareness. As a quality of thought that you allow to keep repeating in the mind. You can sit in a chair as an awakened Christ now. And here's a suggested series of thoughts in the text. Quote, I and my Creator are one. It is a beautiful day. I have manifested a physical form sitting in a chair in a corner of one little tiny dimension of creation. How amazing this moment is. I think I'll just sit here and feel the heart beating in the body and the breath flowing through it. Ah, there's the sound of a bird. I'm glad I called that to myself. What beautiful thoughts can I think right now? Who could I send love to without lifting a finger? I am unlimited forever. I am free. I am free. I am free. Close quotes. Do you think that you would like to have an experience like that for 5 minutes? If you would, why not begin today? So many of you upon your physical plane keep searching for some form of magic that will bring the kingdom of heaven to you. You cannot bring it to you. You can only become aware of how you are using it to create the ripples that you send out from yourself. Do you know the saying in your world, quote, wherever you go, there you are, close quotes? You are God's creation. You are in heaven now. Heaven is not a place. It is a state of unlimited and infinite creative power because it is the reflection of the Creator's holy mind. Why not be one who practices being the presence of heaven? If that seems too awesome or too far beyond you, then just play with it for 5 minutes a day. Trust me. We, without bodies, this consciousness that's sending this message to you, we will have no less love for you if for the other 23 hours and 55 minutes, you decide to play at pretending and feeling that you are little, unworthy, unloved, unloving, unlovable, perhaps that you are the scourge of the earth and that life is constantly victimizing you. Go right ahead. I would never interfere with your free choice. I may not come back and knock at your door except for those 5 minutes, and you remain free to utilize time any way you wish. For just 5 minutes, perhaps you'll choose to experience yourself as Christ, crystallizing a body as a temporary teaching, learning, and communication device, sitting in a chair in a totally neutral corner of creation simply because you want to have the experience of sitting blissfully at peace in your perfect knowledge of your union with your Creator in this moment. You might even find yourself daring to have thoughts such as this. Quote, well, since I'm an infinite creator, what would I like to create for my tomorrows? Close quotes. If during that 5 minutes there's a knock upon the door and it's the bill collector, who cares? That is that soul's experience that they are a bill collector and that you are some bad person that they must corral. Let them have their experience. Sit calmly, hear the knocking on the door, and allow yourself to be entertained by the beautiful worlds you are creating for your tomorrows. Here is the straight and narrow path that leads into, capital L, life. Here is the eye of the needle through which you must pass. You must then choose to actively put it into practice. It begins with the practice of 5 minutes a day. That is all. When you feel that you can fulfill it for 5 minutes, then you can make it 10, and then 12, and then 15, and then 20. You may respond, quote, wait a minute, you mean for 20 minutes I should hang out as though I'm Christ incarnate, totally in union with my Creator, totally free to begin creating different ripples than I've ever experienced before, and knowing that they will come back to me and become my manifested experience with no doubt about it? But 20 minutes? Even if I could achieve that, that's such a small fraction of the time of a day, close quotes. Beloved friends, if you had faith as a tiny, tiny, tiny little seed, you would know that from that little tiny faith, you will create the mighty oak tree whose branches will shelter you from the blistering sun and give comfort unto many. 20 minutes is an eternity when it comes to creating your tomorrows. If you believe that the other 23 hours must be taken up experiencing the effects of what you've created a long time ago or the ripples that are coming back to you, so be it. Play with it. Let yourself transmute those moments. For example, oh, here I am answering the door. Yes, bill collector. Hi, come on in. Have a glass of water. Ah, you know, you're absolutely right. I didn't pay that bill. Do you want to know why? Silly me. I've actually decided to create the experience that I am someone who can only create lack. That's why I have no money in my checkbook. You know, it's just the darndest thing, isn't it? Oh, very good. You're going to turn my name over to the authorities, and now I'll have no credit with anybody on the planet. Well, go ahead if it makes your day. I have other things to do. I'm busy creating new tomorrow. And I know that everything all around me is going to be taken from me anyway, since everything birthed in time ends in time. Eventually my house will be gone, my car will be gone, my clothes will be gone, my friends will be gone. Everything I've experienced in time is changing anyway, so go ahead and take it from me now. It'll just speed up the process. The text tells us, I do not speak of this tongue-in-cheek. I speak from the perspective of one who is an awakened Christ, who already knows how to birth universes to create that which is holy, good, and beautiful. I know that this is the way. It is the only way. Release the value you have attached to your experiences, even the bill collector, and spend your time instead deciding which pebbles you're going to drop into the field of your mind. For you will create as the result of what you choose to think today. And what you value today will show itself to you tomorrow. I learned to value unlimitedness. I learned to value capital L, love. I learned to value fearlessness. Yes, my method for doing that was rather unique, and I would not recommend that you follow in my footsteps. Unless, of course, you like the drama of being nailed to a cross and then stood up in front of all your friends in order to learn to transcend fear in your mind. I learned to value unbroken communication with every soul and every dimension of creation. I learned to value my loving thoughts. And I birthed or grew a Christ out of the very seed of awareness that exists equally within each of you. Therefore, in this moment, look around where you are. Look at the objects that you see. Look at the people that you see around you, if there are any. Notice whatever sounds may be coming into your field of awareness. Notice whatever pictures or ideas you may hold of what you are or what the world is. These are all fleeting and temporary illusions. They will pass away and began passing away the moment they were created. Therefore, indeed, beloved friends, look at all that is around you and decide what value it holds for you. Will you see it as something that you must have in your existence? Or will you choose to see it as something you have playfully drawn to yourself? You appreciate it, and it can be gone tomorrow, and your peace will not be disturbed. Which way will you choose to view the world? 5 minutes, one for each finger and a thumb on a hand, in which you choose to sit as a Christ in the midst of your kingdom, your creation. And you decide which thoughts you will hold, and therefore determine how you will see all that is in the field of your awareness and which thoughts you will allow to generate the ripples that you will send out that will, and there is no escape to it, they will return to you. And as they return to you, you have the option of how to experience them. Top of page 118, the next section is titled, Planting the Seed That Produces the Desired Result. Once, indeed, there was a farmer who went out to plant the seed in his ground. But before he went to plant the seed, he selected the seed very carefully. Now, the other farmers rushed out because they thought, oh, look, it's time for planting. I see it on the calendar there. Everything's perfect. The conditions are just right. We must make haste and plant right now. And they bought whatever seeds they could get, and they went out and spread them across the ground. And they began their busy work of doing what they had to do. Rest assured, they would have their harvest. However, the wise farmer waited. He was laughed at by his colleagues, and yet he carefully selected every single seed. He waited until he could hold it in his hand and say, oh, I like the vibration of this seed. This feels very good. Oh, yes, I can see the beautiful plant that's going to arise from this. The fruit of it will be the sweetest in the entire valley. And it went on, and he gathered his seeds. He paid no attention to the passing of the dates on the calendar. He paid no attention to the changing weather conditions. He knew that when the time was right, the seed would be planted, and from it would burst forth the flower of those seeds. He knew it. He gave no thought to the opinions of his colleagues. And he enjoyed the process of loving the seeds that he was making his own. Then the farmer went out and cast the seed upon the soil of his farm, which is likened unto the soil of your own awareness. He planted the seeds, and he tamped them down, and he nurtured them, and he watered them, and he cultivated them, with a smile upon his face. And yes, the neighbor's seeds seemed to be already sprouting up through the ground, and he could not have cared less, for he knew that these seeds would bring him an eternal harvest, and that they would not just burst forth once from the soil and then throw out some mediocre fruit and then die. For he had selected seeds that would constantly bring forth in each season the best of fruits. He loved them, he nurtured them, and he cultivated them. Long after the other farmers had grown weary and tired and had experienced drought and seeds that brought forth fruit where insects would come and eat them and destroy them, and that would not be purchased by people in the marketplace, this one farmer became the greatest of farmers in the entire valley. People would come from all over the world to bite, to take a little nibble out of the fruit that came from his garden. Yet the farmer merely delighted in continually loving and nurturing those seeds and cultivating the soil in which they were planted daily. He never took his consciousness away from his perfect union with those seeds. He never once forgot that he was the one that created his farm as a direct result of his careful selection of which seeds he would plant in his soil. And while others marveled at his good fortune, and while others were jealous of his good luck, the farmer always knew that no magic was involved. He merely followed in the footsteps and the wisdom given to him by the Creator. there's a quote from scriptures that says, take my fruit and plant it unto your consciousness. Know that you are one with me, and that fruit you experience is the result of the seeds you plant in your own consciousness. Know that you cannot help but experience the result, the fruit of the seeds you plant. Nothing bursts forth on the vine of your experience by accident. Therefore, create with me, my child, create like unto myself by knowing that you are a creator, a farmer, a planter, and you will indeed harvest the quality of the seeds that you plant. Just as you, beloved child, are the harvest of the seed I once planted when first I held the thought of you in my holy mind, and in that moment you arose as a sunbeam from the sun, made in my image. I held you as the thought of love in form, and I bestowed you with all good things. Therefore, see yourself as I see you. Embrace yourself as I embrace you. Accept yourself as you are, a creator, creating ceaselessly. And just as I sat upon my throne, which means sitting in the center of all that is, and just as I beheld you as a loving thought, so too choose only to allow loving thoughts to enter into your consciousness. Choose to only allow loving thoughts to be expressed within your words. Choose only to allow loving thoughts to be translated into your gestures, choices, and actions, and thereby create as I created you, that which extends joy forever, that which extends the holy and the beautiful and the good forever. For that is what you are. That is how I thought of you when I created you, and that is what you remain eternally. Therefore, join with me by extending your creation as I have extended you. Since you have manifested in a physical body, accept my teaching and let that body be placed in a chair that you might think like the mind of Christ for 5 minutes, and you will beget an eternality which reflects the radiance of heaven. Just as you reflect my radiance when I look upon the unlimited soul that you are. Close quotes. Indeed, in the entire family, in the entire valley, there was but one farmer that was wise. Will you elect to join the union comprised of all the hasty farmers? Or will you choose to take up residence as the one farmer who knows how to create wisely and in faith, and who rests on perfect certainty and merely sits back to wait for the ripples of heaven to come and replace the ripples of hell that you once unwittingly created? Everyone is a minister. You cannot help but minister to the world in each moment. Therefore, begin your ministry of enlightened consciousness now. And I promise you this absolutely, irrevocably. You will experience all that I have known and more. You will experience complete victory over death. You will experience complete unlimitedness and abundance. You will experience perfect peace, perfect miracle-mindedness, and perfect unbroken communion in bliss with all of creation. Once, when I was a man, I was taught to sit at the base of a tree for 5 minutes a day and to imagine myself to be the creator of all that I could think, all that I could see, and all that I could feel. 5 minutes taken out of the hours of play of a child. You are a child at play in your own kingdom. Will you give yourself 5 minutes to learn to be a Christ that creates in unlimited perfection in alignment with the mind of the Creator, whose experience is always radiantly blissful and free of limitation and fear? You will experience your creation. What creation is and how you experience it is up to you. What are you going to choose to create? What are you going to pour your mind energy into? Which thoughts are you going to sit with carefully before you choose to value them, before you plant them? The message of this lesson, built upon the last, begins to translate the truth into an action. Very simple, very practical. So simple and so practical that you'll be hard-pressed to find a reason, an excuse against it. For those of you so busy trying to take care of dealing with all the things life throws at you, even you know that you can find 5 minutes. And those 5 minutes can be the beginning of birthing a whole new universe for yourself. And with that, peace be unto you always. By making the decision to choose to receive peace as a Christ, herein lies the secret of much of what will be shared with you in upcoming lessons. For what I specifically seek to do in the way of mastery, and this specific work you know and now call as Shanti Christo, is the birthing of a multitude of Christs that dwell upon your earth at the same time. It has never been done before. Imagine a world with 10 million awakened children of God, fully awake, not just as a belief or an idea, but who have mastered fear, who no longer live in doubt whatsoever, and who are busy creating universes that mirror perfectly the kingdom of heaven. Imagine it, if you can. It begins now. Practice well for the next 30 days. If not, you'll find yourself having to go back and start again anyway, before you can receive the next phase of what will be shared. The choice is yours. Peace then be unto you always. Amen. So, the whole of this work rests with the idea that you are choosing to create your experience of life. And the experience of life that you create, the thoughts that you select and choose to value and pour your mind energy into, they create your experience over and over and over again. And this work is calling us to be very selective, to be very discerning, and to observe when we choose and we have an effect. Do we like that effect? And to choose again. If we like it, we choose more of it. If we don't like it, we choose differently in the next moment. And in that moment, we create a new experience of life for our tomorrows. So, that's the end of Lesson 9, first read through. We've got about 10 minutes left, plenty of time for a comment, a question, a reaction, an answer, a soliloquy, a song, a poem. 563-999-3581. What's your comment? What's your question? How is this sitting with you? Choosing to experience yourself as someone who has the capacity to birth the awareness of your connection to the Christ mind. That would be the way I would choose to say what they're talking about when they say birthing a Christ. Since you are and you remain what you've created to be, it's not necessarily that you are creating something different. It's that you are waking up to the experience of what you truly are. You are an extension of the Christ mind, of the one mind, of the divine mind in form. You are the extension of that loving energy in form. And the only question that is here for us, for those of us who are choosing to be on a path like this, is how long will we go before we choose to wake up to our true nature? How long will we go before we're willing to put some exercises like this into effect and see the benefit directly in our lives? (563) 999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and we can have a conversation. What's on your mind? Unlike the the second hour of the show, which is going to start in about 8 minutes if Michael and Jeannie show up, we are not gifted with the opportunity to just end our show early. So I'll just say that I had the pleasure over the weekend of listening to a Guy Finley talk. He has a series of talks that he's been making them available absolutely free ever since the coronavirus restrictions went into effect. And when I was listening to his talk yesterday, I was shocked to hear that he was using a set of imagery that I created, or that came to me to make part of teacher training down at Heartland with Dr. Michael Rice about somewhere between 8 and 10 years ago. I'm fairly certain, based on memories, that it was within no more than 12, but probably about 10 years ago. And it was, we were each assigned a segment of, or a chapter of, Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And we had to create a teaching segment to teach some portion of the book. And what came to me was to talk about how our mind, our culture, our family teaches us that the what people say and do outside of us, our life events outside of us, cause our upset. But the core of Michael's teaching, the core of the Way of Mastery, the core of the Course in Miracles, it all says we're the ones that create our experience of life. We create our own upset. And a really good way to look at the emotions I experience, especially if they're negative, is that I could look at them as an alarm system to wake me up to the fact that I've chosen some thoughts that are causing this disruption, this pain, this fear, this sadness that pulling me out of the flow of life. So I can wake up and say, oh, I'm going to choose differently. But my culture teaches me that I'm only upset because this person did that or didn't do that, etc. And it came to me to talk about an experience I would have in childhood. We would have cold milk right from the refrigerator, and we would have this chocolate syrup. And you could pour this chocolate syrup into a glass of cold milk, and it would just go right down to the bottom and pool up there, and the whole top of the glass is completely white milk. It's like nothing happened. And at the bottom, there's this nice, thick, you know, inch or 2 inches of chocolate syrup that's all black. And let's say that you're a person that likes white milk and you don't like chocolate milk. You like the taste of that cool, crisp white milk. And you go and you take a drink of your milk and it's fine. It tastes like white milk, pure white milk. And then along comes a spoon, and the spoon gets in the glass and starts agitating things and stirs up all that chocolate at the bottom, and your pristine white milk turns into chocolate milk, and you're all upset, and you're angry at the spoon. And you say, the spoon gave me chocolate, and I don't like chocolate. But the spoon had nothing to do with putting the chocolate in there. The chocolate was in there before the spoon got there. And, you know, further, I know, I saw what happened. I saw that I was white milk. I had white milk in my glass before the spoon showed up, and the spoon showed up, and it agitated things and caused all this blackness in here. Chocolate milk. So I'm going to put it back in the refrigerator. I'm going to lock up the spoon on the other side of the house, make sure it can't get near my glass. And I come back the next morning, and guess what? Almost all that chocolate syrup has dropped back down to the bottom, and I've got white milk again. And then I know for certain it was the spoon that gave me the chocolate, because now I can drink from the top of my glass, and it tastes like white milk again. And now I can use this as evidence that the spoon's responsible. But it's not responsible. So I can create pictures in my mind of how other people are responsible for my upset, but other people can't cause my upset. Well, imagine my surprise when yesterday in his talk, Guy Finley used the chocolate syrup and the glass of milk analogy. So if you're interested and you want to hear Guy Finley's take on the chocolate syrup and the glass of milk analogy, you can go to guyfinley.org/channel and look at the talk from 4/24/2022. To get access to it, you do have to give them an email address, but you don't have to pay anything. They're making that work available absolutely free. And we will probably listen to that talk tomorrow night in the Tuesday support group, just because even more stuff came out right after that that was sounded very much like Lesson 8 from the Way of Mastery. And so it was this weird serendipity synchronicity that gave me quite a few chuckles yesterday. So we've reached the end of our time. I thank you all for being here. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Hi.
And
thank
deserving.
You.
Have a great show.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Monday, April the 25th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. While I'm waiting on Michael to dial in, I'll let you know that if you have an Android, you can go to your Google Play Store and get the most recent update to the Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. It has now been approved and launched in Google. We still don't have the Apple iOS completed yet, but hopefully that'll be just in another day or two. So get the update, the latest update, if you've got it on your phone. If you don't, go out and get it. Download it. It's free, and there are a lot of things that you can do on that app now. It's got the two different forgiveness wake-up sheets. It's got the regular 7-step. It's got the abbreviated version. It has the drag-on, cling-on game and the commitments. It has a link to our events page and a more section which just has news and a lot of updates and a lot of different links. And then on every page, no matter where you are in the app, you can submit a question. And so what happens there is you can just click, submit the question, then continue doing the worksheet or whatever you're on. It will send me an email, and I will read the question on the radio show. Michael will address it. Then I will send back an email telling you what day and time we answered your question. So that's an awesome feature, and several people have taken advantage of that. So go out and check that out. We have, the month has just absolutely flown by. A couple more weeks, we'll be doing another Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And then we'll also, starting in May, the 2nd and the 4th Thursday, I think that's correct, is it, Michael? That we'll be doing the book club.
It is.
All right.
Correct.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you, dear heart. And welcome, everybody. We are delighted that you're here with us to take the understanding of forgiveness to the next level. You know, there are so many levels to be engaged in really, truly understanding who we are as human beings and functioning as who we are, free of the insanities of the past. So we are here to awaken and support the awakening to the truth of who we are, of every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth. And the major key is a really powerful piece of information, simple, but very powerful piece of information, A Course in Miracles, where it says, you need not seek for love. You need only seek, find, and I add, release or forgive the barriers you built within yourself against it. So the truth is, love is the stuff you're made of. And when you function out of love, when you function as love, then everything else changes. And the culture gives you, a close second. And what's a close second look like? Well, let's imagine we have a brand new Ferrari sitting down in the lower parking lot. It's worth about $175,000. And it's a beautiful yellow, bright yellow color. And beside it, there's another automobile, kind of shaped called a bug. It's yellow, bright yellow, and looks kind of cool. Much smaller than the Ferrari, but let's imagine that I tell you that the one shaped like a bug is a Ferrari. Now, the two cars are sitting there and you've got your choice. Take whichever one you like. But if I tell that yellow one that kind of has a hump on it, shorter, is the Ferrari, and you get to take it and sell it. And you don't know anything about cars, and you just pick the one I tell you to take, you lose. You don't get to drive away with the Ferrari. Because the definition of the words wasn't accurate. We live in a culture that says we're supposed to love one another. In fact, we're told that the first law put forward by the man named Yeshua was you're supposed to love the Creator, love yourself, love your neighbor. And that's a directive that was simply never given. Now, if I say that love is a behavior that I do, which is what most of the world holds, then my focus is on the behavior and what happens in the external world. And I miss the mark. You know, the person who read the latest book by some great psychologist or went to the scriptures and didn't understand the words there, heard spare the rod, spoil the child. The way you love your child is to beat him into submission. And so this person, coming from the definitions in their minds, focused outward on behavior, which they call loving toward their child, beats their child and says, there you go. Doesn't that prove I love you? In fact, it hurts me more than it hurts you to do this. But I'm only doing it because I love you. It's like just a large crock of hooey. just like the person who drives the Volkswagen away and gets to the place where they're supposed to sell it and get their $175,000. And the dealer says, well, this is worth about $20,000. What are you talking about? You want $175,000 for it? Well, this is a Ferrari, isn't it? Well, no. This is love, isn't it? No. When you recognize that the language of if I'm loving with them or if I love them, when you recognize that language is as in error as telling somebody that the Volkswagen-looking car is the Ferrari. Nobody has ever loved you. Nobody's ever going to love you. You've never loved anyone, and you're never going to love anyone. Well, what do you mean, Michael? That's what I was told to do. Well, that may be what you were told to do, but it's a lie. Well, yes, you even said, no, he didn't. If you go to the personal, the first commandment, as it was said. And they said to Yeshua, you know, what's most important in the law? He didn't say love your neighbor. He didn't say love God. He said have rachma for the creator and for your neighbor. And in having rachma, you have a condition in your mind that is a great way for your human life to come into your human form. And when you recognize that the idea is to function as love, not to be loving, but to function as love, then the focus is internal. It's on, oh, what's going on in here? And now if I have errant definitions of love, I can go correct them. And I can instruct my mind to support me in being and functioning as love. And, of course, a major piece in achieving that is going to be to remove everything that's ever been put into you to face, to feel, to deal with, and to heal everything that's ever put into you that is unlike love. So love describes a state of being. Now, you can get really, you know, funky with the words and mix them up a whole lot and say, well, it's all the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's no more the same thing than if I tell you the yellow car down there, the one that looks like a hump, that's the one you want to get your $150,000. If you follow those instructions, you're not going to get it. You know, love is a noun. It's a state of being. It's not something we do to each other. When I function out of that state of being, then I will do things that will keep me on track with love and will support me functioning as love. But if I think it's something I can do, then I fall prey to every insane definition of love that goes. So we're here to inform and establish the awareness for every mind, heart, and being on the planet of who we are. And I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're Hitler, I know the truth about you. Behind all of that insanity is a being called love. Everything else that appears as other than love is suffering, comes from a state of pain. The people who are in a state of pain and doing what the world calls evil things deserve to suffer for their atrocities? No, not at all. Well, Michael, what do you mean? That would mean you'd have to let everybody in the world out of prison. No, it wouldn't. No, actually. One of my early mentors was a Superior Court judge named Asa D. Kelly. He was probably about the closest thing to a saint I've ever seen. And here's a man who, over his tenure on the bench, probably put tens of thousands of people in prison for long, long times. And yet, he never punished one of them. His objective never had anything whatsoever to do with punishment. He cared for his community. And he wanted the people in his community to be safe. And I've sat there and listened to him as he said to people, in essence, I love you like a brother. But you know what? You're not safe in this community. You're a danger. And the people of the community took up a collection and they built a building with bars on it. And they asked me to determine who in the community was safe to be at liberty in the community and who wasn't. And since you're not safe in the community, I'm going to put you in that building behind bars. And you know what? With the offenses, with the damage you've done in the community, you're going to be there for life. No. Does that mean I'm going to punish you for life? No. Actually, at Judge Kelly's request, we created a course called Laws of Living that cut recidivism in the prisons by over 90%. And the course had nothing to do with punishment. Now, sadly, we have this old penal system, penal coming from the root penance. Oh, if you do something that causes you to suffer, then you'll make up for your errors. What a crock of hooey. Who benefits from that? Only those that are collecting free wealth, because you know there's one place where slavery is still allowed in the United States, one circumstance. Slavery was not allowed, outlawed, pardon me. You know what it is? If you're in prison, you can be enslaved. And so the people who are profiting, you'll notice that not long ago they outlawed private prisons because it was too much skullduggery, too much profiteering, and too much, they caught judges sentencing kids to who deserved no sentence at all to these private institutions, and the private institutions were kicking back to the judges. Who benefits from that? Yes, if people are a danger to the community, they need to be isolated from the community, and they need care, support, and healing, whatever the level of what we would call depravity is. And so is anybody irredeemable? No, no, doesn't matter how far you've gone, how deep you went, what you did. If you're willing to do the work of cleaning up what never belonged within your mind, then you will be at liberty. Externally, if you've gotten into legal troubles, and internally, if it hasn't gone to that. Most people, the liberty that they need is liberty from the power person dynamics of their lives, of the abuses and the behaviors that were done toward them that they've integrated and now do through the function of the automatic decision system in the mind, repeating what's gone on in the generations. You know, when you realize that power person dynamic, three things have to happen for a power person dynamic to be installed in a person's mind. One, the person who's got the power is not functioning as love, is not functioning as a human being. Two, they have more power over the object of the circumstance than the individual themselves has. Usually it's a parent and child, but not always. Three, the object of it, the child in this case, perceives it as survival. When that happens, that child opens its energy field just like a sponge and sucks in every energy from the environment. And in the future, the automatic decision system will control their behaviors according to the level of stress they're under and the power person dynamic stored within them. And this is what runs the world. For a person who has not been aware of or learned how to undo that power person dynamic in them, and that's basically the focus of our workshop, Codependence to Interdependence, they'll be controlled by one of three behaviors related to the power person. And the level of stress that they're under will determine which of the three behaviors they do. Just observe your own life. When there's no stress, notice how you do what you did to get along with your power person. Maybe it's Mr. or Ms. Nice Guy. And everybody says, oh, look, Mr. or Ms. Nice Guy. Look how nice they are, until they see that person under stress. When stress starts to build, that person, instead of doing what they did to get along with their power person, will now do what they did to resist and survive with the power person. So maybe that behavior was Mr. Snarky. So somebody's married to a person for 5 years, and they've never seen them under real stress. They've never seen their second-level power person dynamic in operation, doing what they did to resist and survive. All of a sudden, this Mr. and Ms. Nice Guy, under that level of stress, shifts into doing what they did to resist and survive with their power person. And if it was Mr. Snarky, all of a sudden, somebody says, wait, well, what happened? You're not the person I married. You were never Mr. and Mrs. Snarky. How did that happen? And then, the shock of all shockers, the pièce de résistance, is when that person becomes ultra-stressed. They will do what their power person did to them that they hated the most.
And if that was punch somebody in the face, you know, we saw a recent example of that in the Oscars. They remember the young man, actually, if you go and read Will Smith's biography, I think the article was in Vanity Fair about it. He wrote about how at 9 years of age, he watched his father hit his mother in the head, knock her out, and how grieved he was that he considered himself a coward and did not do something about that. And then we watched Stress is Created by Goals. Just go back and watch the video and notice how when the joke is told that became so objectionable, Will Smith laughed. His goal, I'd offer, low stress. He's being Mr. Nice Guy. His goal is to have a good time. And then his wife catches his eye. And obviously she's not pleased, and another goal is resonated in him. And I offer it's the same goal was involved with this power person when he was 9 years of age that he wrote about before the event ever happened. He wrote about how this occurred. And the instant that that goal was activated in his mind by that look from his wife, my offering is he was under an ultra-stress condition and got up and did exactly what he observed his power person doing that he hated the most. And that's the dynamic that runs the world when we don't live as human beings, when we don't live out of a state of choice that comes from the state of being love. And we think we're supposed to be loving, and that'll be whatever the definition. You know, in his case, you'll notice that when he got up to receive his own award, he said it's amazing what people do for love, as though that was love. Reminds me of a statement made by Liam Neeson. And this is just kind of from memory. It's not exact, but it's close enough to get the point that he had the insight of the world says love hurts, and nothing could be further from the truth. Love is the only thing that heals. Love is the only thing that makes people feel wonderful again once they've been hurt. It is going back to, and it's not something outside of us that's going to do that. You know, most of the world's got their hand out and says, you got to come out here for it. I'm the solution. No, the solution is already within you. You might need some support for getting there. It's a big job to reinvent the wheel. If you come from generations and generations and generations of insanity, big, big job to, quote unquote, devise tools with which to resolve that situation. In fact, the number one, what I call the pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind, the number one is, if I could just figure this out. I mean, you can't figure it out. But whatever's going on, you can apply forgiveness to it. If you're not using the forgiveness tool, we invite you to go to our website. And right there on the site, you can do the forgiveness worksheet process step by step. Here's how it's done. You can download videos and audios that will tell you about it, explain it. It's all there for free. You can download the worksheet. You can do the worksheet actually live on the website. Nice work, Jeannie, for getting that set up. And or you can download any one of a number of different worksheets that we've developed over the years, print them on your own printer, use them at home. Or you can go to your app store, and Jeannie's just completed the latest edition of the app. You can go to your app store and type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Aramaic forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. It's free, and it's purposely set up with as few permissions as possible so that you can trust and you can know that it is private and only for your use. So the only thing it's going to ask you to do is to have the app able to use your internet connection so it can operate. No other permissions are required. We purposely designed it that way. If when you complete a worksheet, you decide you want to print it, it's going to ask for permission to write to your drive, because if you're going to print it, you got to save it somewhere. Other than that, it doesn't ask, you know, can we use your dialer? Can we operate your text system? Can we change your settings? Can we use your camera? Can we use your mic? None of that. None of those silly things. So download the app, start doing the worksheet process right there on your phone. There are two different versions of the worksheet on the app, as well as the kids game, the drag-on Klingon game. And there's a feature, a relatively new feature, I think, but two versions ago, Jeannie, I think you added that feature where people can, on any page, you can simply type in a question. We'll get the question. We'll answer it on the show. You can access the commitment. You can access the website. You can access, all kinds of things. Jeannie's just been really building and working. And, I don't know how many thousands of hours she spent. And one of the big challenges is when she's working on it, she has to be up at 5 in the morning because the technicians that are doing the actual mechanical translating of the computer jargon are in India that are doing the work of setting it up. So in order to communicate, she should be up about 5 in the morning, and that's when they're just closing their offices. And sometimes they work past their closing time so that we can get that put together. Just an awesome piece of work, sweetie. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you're out there in listener land, the purpose of this show is to create the space for questions, to explain, to put forward the teachings in as concise a way as possible. Having spent 40 years specifically focused on the first century Aramaic forgiveness process and another 10 years before that developing this work, most people aren't going to spend half a century of their lives developing the tools to understand and to do the work that allows us to understand just how this process progresses. So we appreciate the fact that you're here, and if we can be of any support, our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, we've got syndication, and so you can call in a direct number to the show, and when you call this number, you'll be listening to the show. If you're coming in through one of those other stations, we can't tell that you're there. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. When you call that number, you're live on the show. And then if you push 1, that raises a hand in the control panel. Jeannie will know you want to talk to us, and we'll have a conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind?
We have a hand up.
Let's go for it. Yay.
All right. So it's Susan, area code 610. You're on the air.
Hey, first of all, this is segging right into what you were just talking about, Jeannie's app. You gave me the strong suggestion, Michael, of doing 5 worksheets a day. So
yes.
I find myself, it's only been 3 days, 2 days,
right.
And I've done 5 2 days ago and 5 yesterday, and I've done 3 today so far. But I'm using Jeannie's app. I'm mixing it up a bit, and I'm using her app, and it is really amazing. Just really good. It makes it fun.
Yeah, it's such a blessing.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing to have that available. And, nobody will ever, when we tell people we have an app, people who have some knowledge of the computer world, such like, you actually have an app? Most people have no idea what it takes to put something like that together. And I've watched Jeannie get up so many mornings and it's been it's pretty sweet.
It's
there.
It's got these features that are, I don't know how you did it, Jeannie. I'm pretty good on the computer, but man, this is impressive. Thank you.
There was a corporation that had become involved in the work at one point before we did the app, and they said, we're going to support you. We're going to develop an app for this. And then they started looking at it like, too much money, and they plopped. They quit. They dropped out. But, I don't know.
I can understand it.
A lot of hours.
Feedback, although it's not important at all, is if you write a lot in the slot where you can add an explanation, when you go to the part where you're reading over what you said, because it's sort of, you get a summary and then you come to your enlightened goal and stuff, there's an overlap of text because it'll lead into the next thing. It's not a big deal because when I printed it out, it all printed out without that overlap. And I wouldn't even do anything about it except maybe say, keep it brief or something, you know.
Yeah, and that's actually, I have had a couple of people mention that before. And, mm-hmm. you know, it does come down to a lot of people. Actually, I just worked with a lady over the weekend. They'll end up doing like an hour to do a worksheet and go into so much detail and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And it, in a way, that is sort of a self-sabotage to keep you so distracted with all the details that you don't get down to the point. But, yes, I'll keep that in mind and see if the next time that I update, if I can make the spaces bigger.
I think cases. Go ahead.
I would just say don't even bother. It's just that it happens. But
right.
if you said something
and I'm not
at the
sure
very
that
beginning,
it's...
like, sorry, we're talking over each other. Go ahead, Michael.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I think in some cases it's the display capability of the device you're on as well, because it said it will print out. It's all there, but there's a limit on, in some cases, for the device being used in its display capability. So, that's a thought to put in the keep it brief idea.
Is this usable on a computer? I haven't even tried it. Is it if I had the app on my computer?
That is a different setup. The way that, you know, even like the way they set it up for Google is, we've got a really loud feedback. The way we set it up for Google is totally different from even the iPhone. But on the website, I'm scrolling down just to make sure so I tell you the truth. Okay, you can click, it will redirect you to the Healing the Whole Woman. But I do have it is set up to do it on the website. And the only reason that I did it, the only reason that I have it redirecting to my website is because our website is so huge. And to give mm-hmm. somebody, even though I trust the guys in India and everything, to have someone else go out there and make a change on their website brings up fear. Because if they screwed something up, how would we get it straight, you know? So my website's a lot smaller. And so if you go to the Why Again and then click on the worksheets, it says, you know, the forgiveness app, and then underneath it, it says, and just like the app, you can do it online and click here to be redirected. And it will take you to the Healing the Whole Woman site, and you can do them online there.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, good. Well, I wouldn't tend to do it. If I'm home and have paper available, I do it on paper. And if I'm out sitting somewhere, I'll do one in the waiting room or something, which is rare, actually. I tried to do it while I was walking, and that's insane. It's not the dog pulling my hands, pulling the phone out of my hands, and picking up BMs while I'm going along. It's not a good idea to do it when you're taking a dog for a walk.
I'll go with that.
So I've been doing when I'm walking. I know the worksheet so well, and I know you don't approve of this, Michael, but too bad, because you're not going to get five out of me without my being able to do this. I go on long walks, and I do them in my head, and then I summarize them when I get home. I sort of write it out when I get home, and it has been amazing already to get back to work that way. It's as if now when something comes up, I feel like Diederik Walczak. There's a feeling, okay, what's going on? It's all my garbage. Let's have a look. And then we go to work. It's a way of, from the right out of the starting gate, you smell a rat and you know it's your rat. So, and it's been all over the place. You said not to use, don't try to figure it out, so I haven't. Worksheets on every possible issue, and they all point to the main issue. No matter what it is, it ends up being the same thing, pretty much, the same basic early difficulty and challenge.
I think there's a book about that.
Yeah, why is
called,
this happening?
Called Why Am I Doing This to Myself Again? Well, I'm going to elicit a testimonial from you then, because you just told me that you're doing the worksheet both ways. Now, for people who tell me, oh, I just do them in my heads now, I know them so well, I sing a song to them. And the song is, slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. Now, what I'll ask you is, when you find yourself, you're out in your walk and you're doing it in your head, how much more detail and information do you catch when you start doing it in writing?
Oh, you do. It's true.
I mean, there's so much the
I'm
mind
just
slips
you.
Away from. Just, you know, just it comes up. But if you're not putting it, it can come up so quickly and disappear so quickly that it's not even noticed. Whereas if you're writing, you know, there it is. It's in writing and you've got it. And so it's so much more profound to put it down on paper, for sure, or in the computer.
Okay, well, I should tell you the intermediary step that I'm taking then, because I didn't even think of it. But what I'm doing is I take out my notes in my iPhone, you know, that little yellow thing. It says notes,
right,
and you can actually dictate. I talk it into my phone.
Perfect.
So it's not exactly not being written down, but it's being talked down and then written down when I get home. So,
well,
I know it's not ideal, there, but
no, actually, that's perfectly ideal. I'd say that takes it all to the next level, and I never really thought of it that way before. But, you know, there are different parts of the brain that are connected and are close in terms of their function. Like, there's a thing called Broca's area where language is located, and that's right close to emotions. And I would think that if you are dictating it, and you're to do that, you're activating Broca's area where speech is, and that ties in with emotion, that's going to access information in a different way than just thinking it and writing it down. So you're getting another sense involved, and I would suspect that you come into still another level of detail by doing that. Now, the other side of that coin is that you want to be aware that it doesn't become so deep and so complicated, the thing that you just get to the point where, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. So a three-minute worksheet is a good exercise, too. Literally, give yourself 3 minutes to do a worksheet. You know, you can move a lot of energy. The core of the process, of course, and nobody has to believe it, but the core of the process is when you cancel a goal, perception collapses. And that's what gives you access to new information. And so
that's
you can
exactly
do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And you can, you know, you can get into a detailed, longer form and cover every little thought. And you can also click through very quickly a worksheet. Some people, oh, I couldn't do 3 a day because it takes me an hour and a half. Well, stop doing an hour and a half. Spend 3 minutes. You know, maybe do one of your hour or hour and a half worksheets, one of your big detailed ones if that's what you need to, and do the other four in 3 minutes each, 3 minutes or less. And it's powerful, just that three-minute worksheet.
That's true. Usually, you know, I say, what am I feeling? Okay, what do I want? In other words, what's my goal for this person or situation? It's always sitting right there in front of my face. I want them to do this or that or the other, giving up the goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's good.
Well, I'm delighted you're on it. It'll be fun to track with you through the 40 days.
It'll be fun to see if I do it, too.
Knowing you, I think you will. I think you will. 40 days in the desert is very powerful. You know, when you realize in the scriptural definition of the desert is
really,
the unconscious.
And the vitality level, I thought I would probably go through, you know, down the tubes, but it's been the opposite. I have a lot of energy. So I don't know what that means. I guess it's a good thing, but everything's going well.
Well, when you remember in the Course in Miracles, it talks about nobody can be tired. Tired is impossible. Energy can't get tired. But the burden of carrying the hostility and fear wears us out. And so when you start to let go of that, yes, it liberates a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, carrying around that load.
One byproduct right away was a phone call I had with a friend, and it didn't end all that well. It wasn't bad. In fact, I thought she was a little kind of upset, and I said some reassuring things, and then we didn't talk for a while, and I thought, I've got to call her, and we really did a lot of processing. But that wouldn't have happened without my doing a worksheet on her and a sort of a sense of, you know, not irritation even. It's like something isn't right. Something isn't right here. And so we've got a very good connection again, which is nice. But
that's
a
sweet.
Direct
awesome.
Byproduct of a worksheet. Yeah. Also,
yay.
Michael, this is leading into some other questions that have to do with nutrition again. Is it okay if I ask you those? Because they're not about
go for it. If I've got answers, I'll do my best.
Well, I watched the video, the short one, about the coconut oil, and I sent it to my friend whose mother has Alzheimer's. And I got some coconut oil. But I also have coconut milk. I get it canned, and you have to warm it up to the point where you can mix it up because some of it looks like pure oil, and then it's milky looking.
Solid.
Is that the same? Is that the same?
Yeah, that would be
stuff?
Good. I don't know about the processing as such, but yeah, the oil in canned coconut milk. You can also get coconut water, but I don't think it's got the high oil content or fat content that the brain needs.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, it's the same thing. I'm not sure
and
about
also,
how they process it.
I got a book, and I wonder if you've heard of this guy. I don't have it right with me. Sorry, I wasn't planning ahead, but it is called Cleanse to Heal by Anthony Williams. He calls
not
himself
familiar
with a medical medium.
Uh-huh.
And he says that diabetes is the result of an injury to the pancreas. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why are all these diabetic people going around having injured a physical injury, like being hit with a hockey stick in your gut and you hurt your pancreas? I think I've got that right. Anyway, I just wondered if you'd ever heard about that.
I'm not familiar with him.
I think when we have the grief, that impacts the pancreas. And that's a hit to the system. I mean, it may not be what most people would consider physical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here's what I know, also on an energetic level, when we put a load on an organ or a part of the structure, that part of the structure tends to become unconscious. And when there are accidents, that's where it will tend to happen.
Okay, that makes sense. So when you're talking about pre-diabetes, they have two types of diabetes, and you said a third type, which is the type that you're addressing with the coconut oil.
They're theorizing a third type, yes.
Yeah, I understand. Type 1 and type 2, are they different? Well, I mean, what's the difference?
Yes. Type 1, the insulin just isn't there. The body's not producing it.
Oh, okay.
And that usually comes from birth. That's usually, you know, long term. Type 2 is when the body can't utilize the insulin that's there, insulin resistance and such. Type 3, mm-hmm. according to the theory, and this is something that's, I'm not even sure how long it's been around. I'm not even sure who originated it, but it's making sense and it seems to be making a difference, is that there is no insulin in the brain. And in order for a cell to use the sugar that it takes as fuel for the cell, there has to be insulin present to make it usable. And without insulin, then the brain starts to dysfunction because there's no insulin there. And that the coconut oil or MCT powder oil produces a fuel that the cell can use directly without any insulin. So is restoring function very profoundly. And the thesis is because of this type 3 diabetes that now the brain cell, which basically had no fuel at all, so dysfunctional. And they call it, according to some sources, that's a proper definition of Alzheimer's. Now, I'm not cognizant enough with it and the theory of it or anything else to say that's accurate or not, but some of the people who are pretty well into that field are saying this is what Alzheimer's actually is, and we can get fuel into the brain cell and stop fooling around with the insulin, then the brain starts to function again. And the way to do that is through coconut oil and, you know, good organic coconut oil and or the MCT oil.
Oh, okay. So let me read you this. It's very short. Is that okay? And then I have a question.
Go
at
for
the end
it,
of it.
Please. Yes.
This is what the man says. Diabetes type 1, type 1.5 called LADA, and type 2 prediabetes and blood sugar imbalance. True cause, he says. Type 1 and type 1.5 diabetes, the second of which is also known as latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, or LADA, is caused by injury to the pancreas, usually from a pathogen such as a virus or bacterium, sometimes even a physical blow. The severity of the pathogen and the condition of the pancreas determine the severity of the individual case of diabetes. Sometimes the pathogenic injury is slow or happens later in life, which is what leads to type 1.5 LADA. At the same time as either types 1 or 1.5 diabetes, you can have a sluggish, stagnant liver and a diet too high in fat, creating insulin resistance issues. Type 2 diabetes comes from a sluggish, stagnant liver filled with various toxins, including viral toxins from a virus such as the one of the over 60 varieties of Epstein-Barr. At the same time, the liver has lost its glycogen reserves so that the pancreas has to work harder, overextending itself due to the constant insulin resistance issues that come up from a long-term high-fat, high-protein diet. Well, personally, I've never had a high-fat, high-protein diet, and I haven't had an injury. But you were saying it's grief, and Jeannie was reinforcing that. But my question doesn't have directly to do with that. His solution to just about everything is to start off working up to 32 ounces daily of fresh celery juice. Have you ever had celery juice, Michael?
Yes, I love celery juice. It's powerful. It's very healing. It's a powerful juice. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about growing celery so I could have a good fresh supply of organic celery juice. And that's been in my thought to talk with Jeannie about. We've just been working in the garden, but we haven't gotten to celery at this point.
There's actually a section sectioned off for that.
Yep.
Whoa. Well,
I would offer support on a physiological level, but here would be my take on his pathogen and even injury, and that is that when you load up a part of the structure with an energy that doesn't belong, and my take would be, as Jeannie said, grief loads down the pancreas, then the pancreas in a lowered state of vitality becomes susceptible to pathogens. You know, it becomes home. It produces toxic byproducts, and if you feed them, they will come. You know, you've heard me use the example before of I've got a one-acre lot out here, and I rope off one square corner or one square foot on one corner and one square foot all the way over on the opposite corner, diagonal. And I count how many pathogens are, how many bugs, creepy, crawly things, bacteria, viruses, bugs, and buzzards around each square foot. And, you know, it's out in an open field, and it's probably pretty much going to be the same until I put a dead rabbit on one of those square feet of land at 98.6 degrees. Mm-hmm. Now, if we come back in 4 days after that dead rabbit being there for 4 days, there's going to be an elevated count of pathogens on one of those square feet. And 100% of the time, it's going to be the same one, and that's where the dead rabbit is. If the mm-hmm. tissue is loaded with an energy that doesn't belong in it, it creates an ideal environment for the growth of pathogens. So my okay. take would be the pathogen rarely is cause. It's that the pathogen is given a food supply and overwhelms the organ because the organ's in a low energy state. In the same way, mm-hmm. that organ or that part of the structure being unconscious will tend to, you know, when it comes to the accident, will tend to place itself in the way of an accident more easily than any other part of the body that isn't holding awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd agree on the cause level, except that my take would be that he's putting a part of the effect in line as cause. So he's saying the pathogen. Well, I'm saying, no, it's the load on the organ that creates the pathogen. It's the accident. No, it's the load on the organ that makes the organ unconscious that puts it in the way of being physically injured because mm-hmm. of its unconscious activity. And so, you know, all of the above, and yes, I think celery juice would be a powerful healer in that regard.
So I can't imagine doing this every day. I made my celery juice. He has a recipe. It's spinach or romaine lettuce, parsley, celery, I forget what else. Anyway, you don't add
Sounds
water
delicious.
Because it's so much water. What?
Sounds delicious.
Sorry, I missed. It's horrible. I didn't like it. I added some stevia and it didn't help a bit. So I'm thinking, yeah. Is there any other way? What about just eating celery sticks? Would that do it?
Well, you probably couldn't eat enough celery sticks to get that kind of fluid flow through your structure. And here's my offering, is that when you take an energy and it's going to produce healing, that healing produced is going to move energy that is not going to be pleasant. And in many cases, when somebody moves through I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, all of a sudden, once they've moved whatever it is that is resonated by that particular substance, they come to enjoy it. Like when Jeannie and I first met, Jeannie would not touch beets. She could not think about beets. And we were doing an intensive, and part of the intensive there was juicing and such, and part of the intensive was just a spot of beets X number of times a day. And now I think that's one of Jeannie's acceptable foods, right, sweetie?
Pickled beets, yes.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would make them acceptable. I don't like beets. Yeah. What's
no,
so good about
pickled
beets
are okay.
Are you still there?
Yes, sure, we are.
Okay. What's the benefit of having beets?
There are lots of antioxidants in beets, and it's a blood cleanser. You know, you look at the color of it, red fits with the blood, and the nutrients needed to support blood cleansing is in beets. Celery
okay.
supports things like bones. You know, if you look at it, the long, stringy, you know, bone-like structure, it tends to, there's actually a friend I have who wrote a book on, let's see, what was the name of it? Jeannie, you probably remember. Had to do with look-alike. How was it?
I'll think of it
here What's
in a second.
Word? Yeah, it's right on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, that when you look at, for instance, cut open an avocado, it looks like ovaries. And avocados have nutrition mm-hmm. that supports ovaries. Celery,
wow.
long, stringy, like bones, supports bones.
Question
so he goes
then,
through
like,
a whole series.
My mother-in-law, one thing she always did before she put out celery sticks was snap the end and pull the bony part away so that people didn't have to chew those
chew
bony things. Those bony, What?
I got it.
And so is that bad? You're missing something.
I wouldn't say it's bad. I think that, you know, the more whole we can eat something, the more whole the nutrition is going to be that comes from it. You know, people, because of distaste. Because, you know, because of taste, people go, oh, I don't like the taste of it, so I'm going to take that part out. But that's part of the whole. You can't get holy without doing wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Oh, cucumber.
So how about a mind shifter?
I don't
cucumber's
want
another wonderful cleanser.
Too many already.
Cucumber also is natural insulin, so it tends to support pancreas healing. Yep.
Okay. Well, tell me what the mind shifter is, and then I'll tell you I won't do it.
Oh, I'm not going to give it to you. You don't want it. We'll forget about that.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
The more I partake of the things I find distasteful, and you know what's coming, right? The more I partake of the things I find distasteful, the better I like it. Are you breathing?
No, I'm writing.
Hello, is there anybody out there with breath? Oh, you can't write and breathe at the same time, right? That's impossible. Got nothing to do with being resonated by the mind shift or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you give me a mind shifter that I agree with. It doesn't function as a mind shifter. It's sort of like, oh, okay. In fact, I'm trying to find where it was. I don't know if I have the right book here.
And those ones are not particularly on target as a mind shifter. If it just fits right in and it's like just strengthen something that's already there, that would be more of an affirmation.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about affirmations.
Okay.
But a mind shifter is when I have what other people would call an affirmation, but it resonates something in me that I need to work through. And the idea of the mind shifter is to give you the space to work through it. Otherwise, it's more of an affirmation.
Well, I'm not sure which this one is. I'm just looking at it. I guess I have to come upon a distasteful thing and
breathe?
Then I can say it to myself. Huh?
Yeah, do you breathe naturally when you look at it and read it? Then it's a mind shifter.
The more I partake of the things I find distasteful, the better I like it. Well, all I can think of is the celery juice. And I'm certainly arguing against it right now. Yuck. I just have to. It says work your way up to 32 ounces. I drank 16 ounces, and I thought that was like torture.
Ah, geez, when you're making that 16-ounce one, I wish you'd make one for me and send it over.
Right. Perhaps I can find a couple recipes in the recipe book that we have, where it's not just the celery juice, but you add, you know, like maybe an apple or carrot or something else with it.
Yeah, Ari was a master.
I wondered if
at
I could
juices
add an avocado.
Palatable.
What,
sure.
Michael?
Yeah, it's one of the healthiest
avocado?
Forms of fat there is, avocado.
We eat them every day in our salads and stuff, and sometimes they get a little past where they ought to be. They get brown, but I still put them in the smoothies.
Right.
They don't kill you.
When you get them, put them in a glass of water.
Uh-huh.
Store them in a glass of water. They don't turn brown.
In
at
the refrigerator.
That's
not right.
In the refrigerator, yeah.
In the refrigerator,
in water,
but they'll
submerged,
still ripen?
Submerged in water.
And they'll still ripen?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the refrigerator, because I get them from Costco and they're like rocks. And so I leave them out for about a week.
Well, you might want to leave
ready.
Them out till they soften, start to soften a little bit. But when you're at the point where, you know, if I leave them another day or two, they're going to be gone. Drop them in water. And...
yeah. Oh, nice to know.
Yeah,
man,
I also experimented for a while. Say again?
You're an all-purpose, full-service radio show.
Let's go for it. We're looking to be as holistic, holy as we can, for sure. You might want to, and actually haven't been doing it for a while, but we started, there was another piece that I was looking at where they talked about freezing avocados, and that works fairly well to maintain them. They get soft because the water molecules or the cells break open, but it's still pretty good avocado or pretty good guacamole or what have you from it.
Oh, good.
Great brain food.
Because they're not cheap, so you don't want to waste them. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, and then another question. I hope you don't mind. I mean, this guy says, bananas, eat as many as you want. Eat a ton of bananas, only a certain kind of ripeness. But in other places about high glycemic levels, they say don't touch a banana. It's like having 5 Coca-Colas or something. Which is it?
Yeah, bananas, it's a lot of load for the pancreas to deal with.
Okay.
We just, as we were doing some garden study, you know, we're just planting gardens, and yesterday we just came across a video that where we learned that a way to grow kiwis is to cut a kiwi in half, sit it inside of a very ripe banana, you know, strip the cut it in half and have a piece, and just plant that, and boom, you've got kiwi growing. I guess the banana is perfect food for kiwi. The seeds just go.
That's really great to know.
So we're working on kiwis.
And they'll grow
in
our
climate? Different. There are different varieties, but yes, there are. Yeah.
Wow.
I was reading, we're in sixth B here, and I was reading about them this morning, and there are some that are a little heartier. That the vines are tougher and can handle the colder weather. But, yeah, we can grow them here, and I understand pretty much throughout the United States that they can be grown.
Oh, good.
Some of the more tropical varieties are not as don't thrive as well in colder climates, but can be done in a banana.
Okay, well, I love bananas, but I'm not eating them after hearing this.
Yeah, you don't want to push a lot of bananas. They're high sugar for sure.
Okay.
And you don't want to do juice, you know, fruit juices. You want to stay away from fruit juice.
Oh, no. Totally. No, I know about that. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Well, any other thoughts, young lady?
I don't think so. Not at the moment. Thanks a lot, though. This is cool.
Well, tell Tim that we said hello.
I will. Thanks.
And we are extending our love in his direction and your direction.
Thanks.
All right. Well, lots of love and appreciation. Everybody, thank you for joining us. And if this show has been meaningful for you, go to the archives, and you know, I'm not even sure exactly how long it takes, but within a few minutes, you can download the show, and the iHeartRadio app allows you to forward and reverse, so you can go to exactly where you want to. It comes out as a 2-hour show, the first hour of Dr. Tim's and then ours, so in some apps, you have to listen through the whole thing. iHeartRadio app works too, and some apps won't give you all of our archives. The iHeartRadio app goes right back to day one. Some of them limit to just 300, and we've got over 3,000. So if you want an app that takes you back through all of our archives, 3,000-plus shows, iHeartRadio, we don't have any association with them, but I just happened to, you know, I was looking for something that would allow us to be more flexible, and that seems to work fairly well. So in the meantime, everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You can give it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.